I hope no one will take offense at what I'm going to say. Because what I'm going to say is for the benefit of every single one that's here. How many would like to be able to consistently preach and testify and pray for the sick and pray for those that are sick, that are seeking for God, for the Holy Spirit, and for salvation, and in any capacity that you're called to minister in, to be able to minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? How many would like to know how to do that? If I gave a seminar on how you can be anointed in whatever capacity God wants to use you in, how many would attend? I'm going to give such a seminar. It's going to cost $200 to attend. But I'm going to let you in free. And I'm going to give it right now. It's going to take about 5 minutes. And that means anywhere from 5 to 20. I cannot help this. But I've got to feel and have the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this church, or I can't stand it. There are a lot of people that have a completely different standard and acceptance in the church than me. But I guess I happen to be pastor. And I feel that we have a desperate need to have services that start and end with the anointing of the Holy Ghost and are born by the Holy Spirit all the way through. I feel we have a lot of people here that have had a lot of experience in speaking, testifying, singing, preaching, praying under the anointing. And everyone can be anointed of God if you know how. If you know how. When I was in first year of Bible college, I was a teacher, called to be a teacher, but I preached a little bit, and my preaching sounded like a book report. It was no more anointed than the man in the moon. He's not anointed. My theology was good. I had points and things I wanted to say. But the problem was I said them. And I didn't involve God in it. I was saying it. I feel that there must be a movement of the Holy Ghost on whatever is done or it cannot accomplish its purpose. You can sit down with somebody and you can go through some theology with them and show them in the scriptures. But if you're not anointed, they will probably not receive it, no matter what you tell them. But when you have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you, there is something that's happening at the other end that causes them to begin to have the resistance breaking down. They seem to be under a power that is greater than they, that they cannot gainsay nor resist, and they don't know what to do with a power that's confronting them of God. And they break. You go to pray for people. And if you've got the anointing, something's happening at the other end, because God, whenever God anoints, He always anoints at the other end too. Now let me tell you how to be anointed. I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of this service. I felt to say something. I felt that God wanted to take a hold of something. I felt that God wanted to do something. We have got a lot of people here that have got a lot of good things to say. But they shouldn't say it up here. Those good things are things you share in your fellowships, in your offices, and in your homes. This is the sacred desk on the Mount of God that is saved for those that are plugged in. And I believe that we should have hundreds plugged in. Climb the mount with the glory of God upon them. Now let me tell you how to be anointed. But first I'll tell you how not to be anointed. The man that has found something exciting that happened during the day and he wants to tell about it will not be anointed. The person that heard some exciting news, what happened back in Kansas or across the ocean, and he wants to tell about it, will not be anointed. The person who wants to get up to tell people how he had a 3-hour talk with Jehovah's Witnesses last night and how he sure showed them up, he will not be anointed. The man who just likes to talk and get up and talk will not be anointed. The person that just wants to get up and he's been practicing his song and he has been praying about his song so it would sound good and he gets up to play his song will not be anointed. The person that's just going to pray for somebody just so he can have a leg lengthened will not have the anointing of God upon him. God anoints on a different principle. Two things are primarily involved in being anointed. And you see, there are a lot of people that don't get up here because they're sensible enough because they don't have an anointing upon them. But I want to tell you something. People that are in all this framework that I'm talking about should not be up here. But it does not take a dynamic anointing to come on this platform. What it takes is knowing how to be anointed and then having something to say. And I don't mean you're dead out there, but God anoints in the hour that you step out to do something. The first principle for the anointing is to put your heart where God's is. To say things from a divine perspective. To care. The man who gets uphill because he cares is the man who's putting himself in a place where God can anoint him. He cares what's happening to the church of Jesus Christ. He cares what's happening to the flock. He cares for those that are going out, the bleeding. He cares for those that are not witnessing. He cares for heaven. He cares for God's heart. He cares for the people's heart. He's not just getting up to talk. It isn't just something exciting to share. But he's got something that he wants to give them that they might have something to make them safe. Something that it will give feed their spirits. Something that will give them joy. Something that will satisfy. Something that will cause them to explode inside with a new light and a new life. Something he wants to desperately get it in. He cares for their soul. That's the man who can be anointed. The man who comes up to somebody and they're sick and he cares and he wants that person to be healed. Not that he wants to do a miracle. The person when he goes to sing wants to transfer Jesus into your life. Wants to just praise him. Is the man who can be anointed. Now you have to have something to say. God doesn't know nothing. You have to have something that's worth saying. Something that the people can draw on spiritually and get fed from. It's hard to be anointed in an announcement to turn your clocks back on Saturday night. And this coming Saturday night, I want you to turn your clocks back because it's the time of year to do so. So remember, it's spring forward and fall back. And this coming Saturday, they tell me, in the operations office, it's a time to tell everybody to turn your clocks back. Now, the other thing is, that is essential. And before I forget it, I want the offering taken after I get through here. The thing that is essential, most essential, is not only to have the heart of God and see things from His standpoint and care from His caring, care from His heart, to reach out from that, but to put yourself in what I call the anointed slot. Speak like God will speak through you if you are anointed. Because you cannot speak anointed different than you will speak anointed. And a lot of people don't know that. I tell you, it makes all the difference in your ministry. We had a man in this assembly. I've heard him preach under the anointing. Brother, he could really preach in an anointing. I've heard him get up and preach when he was not anointed. And I remember one time in chapel, he got up to speak, and I just felt something inside of me wanting to go over and say, "Listen, brother, make sure you come up and get into the anointed slot." And I didn't. And he got up there, and sure enough, he was not an anointed slot. You know the problem? He was not anointed. You know why? He did not put himself in an active faith where God was going to speak. He started off where he was going to speak. This is why ministers make a mistake, and speakers too, start off about a lot of trivial things. Never start off blah, 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 blah downhill if you want to be anointed. Start off right uphill in the anointed slot, just like God will anoint you. And I know that that brother, all he had to do to be anointed, now all he had to do was put himself in an anointed slot by faith. You mean it's technique? No, it's faith. It's the same faith that when a person comes up and says, "This person is sick and I want you to pray for them." Well, lots of Christians pray for lots of people and they're not getting healed. So in that moment, I have to put myself in a place of authority over that sickness and believe that I have that authority and it doesn't stand a ghost of a chance. And at that moment, I have to say, "I command that pain to go. It cannot stay." And I'll tell you, if you'll understand how I mean this, and you new ones, well, don't sweat it out and take me too literally. But if that pain will know whether you're trying to buffalo it or not by a lot of loud volume, you can't try to Seven Sons of Sceva it out. You have got to have it, brother, or it'll stay there and stick its tongue at you. You've got to put yourself in a place of not just trying to, wanting to, wishing to. I know too well the feeling of trying to have faith versus taking authority over it and having faith. How many have felt the difference? Yeah. That's what you've got to do. When you are going to speak under the anointing, you have got to get ready to speak, and I have to say, "Now, Lord, I am believing that you are going to anoint these words." Now, I can't just say those words. I can't just use positive mind over matter. I have to put myself in a place to believe that, and then I have to take the first step in preaching. Right up as though he was anointing. And I find that he is. That's what you've got to do when you sing under the anointing. That's what you got to do when you pray for people under the anointing. That's what you got to do when you sit down to tell somebody about his soul. That's what you do when you got to sit down and start feeding him truth and talking about the word. You say, "Now, Lord, cause me to say the right thing and begin to take a hold of this and begin to bring this as Jesus once had brought with a love and a power that he cannot gainsay nor resist." If you want to just throw your theology back and forth across the net like you're playing badminton, you're not going to convince anybody. You see, when Peter stepped out on the water, he couldn't walk like a man who was going to walk beneath the surface. He had to go out of that. Have you ever figured out how he did that? Here he was in this shallow boat, and the Lord said, "Come." How did he do it? I'm going to show you how he didn't do it. This is the gunwale of the boat. It's a stormy sea. The apparition says, "Come."
go.
Well, that thing might just keep on thinking. I mean, how are you going to come? In what fashion are you going to... How are you going to make that first step? This is the water level. You can't do that. Because when you do that, it goes slop, slop, slop. There's no terra firma on the surface of it. It is watery, and you can stick your whole foot down to your knee and back up again, and you don't get the impression you can walk on it. Now, when he said walk on the water, there's only one way to walk on the water. And that's to say, with a conviction, if the great I Am says walk on the water, he means walk on the water. He doesn't mean try it out, check it out, put your foot in it, test it. It's water, it is going to weigh so many, it's going to weigh 60 by 65, 64.5 or 65 point, what is it, pounds per cubic foot or whatever it is. It is not going to feel like concrete. And you're going to have to believe if he says you can walk it, you can walk it. So how do you walk it? Just like you'll walk it if it was concrete is how you'll walk it. How do you step off and walk on concrete? Get out here with your foot and start doing this? That isn't what you do. You launch out and you start walking it. There's only one way to walk in the water. If you have to walk in the water, the way you walk in the water, he says, come, and you start off and you start going to climb. There's no other way to do it. And there's no other way to preach under the anointing but get into the anointing. Now, this is the most valuable seminar that you've ever been in, because anointing is important. This is a $200 seminar. That's cheap. It's worth 10 times that. You can use what I'm telling you. This can be a part of your life. But you'll never do it in the human element. You'll never do it by coming out and saying, well, now I just want to say some things tonight. I have a list here of quite a lot of interesting things. They will not be interested unless God is in it. Unless it's got some human, got some divine dynamo powering through it. This is a wheel whirling in the midst of a wheel. I feel like that we've got to have the power of Azusa Street with four times the intellect. And I can't be satisfied with anything less. We've got to lift the people up into the heavens tableland, where we pray with the heart of God, kill with the heart of God. Unless we've got the heart of God, brother, we ain't got nothing at all. And I submit it's high time that we begin to step out where God is, instead of trying to bring down God to where we are. I have no heart to bawl out, blame, criticize, judge, be negative towards any of the sons and daughters of the faith in this church or any other. That is not my heart. It's the furthest thing. But I groan inside if our services don't boil under the Holy Ghost. I want Holy Ghost Pentecostal meetings. I was born in the fire and I can't live in the smoke. And I'm saying that we've got to climb. That's why I make such insistence about who enters the sacred desk. Because I believe, I love to see people come up here who sing under anointing. Oh, it ministers to my soul. I love to hear people that get up and testify with tears running down their face how Jesus made them whole and delivered them. I love to see people who under the Spirit and their face is shining like the sun, and they're speaking out, it's pouring out. You sense the divine presence, and you don't care if they speak for 10 hours, it's coming down and it's flowing out, and it's flowing and it's flowing and it's flowing, and you recognize that the fountain's in heaven. And those kind of people you can listen to testify all night long. They just feed your soul. They lift you up. But somebody else can have the same words and read it out of his notes and do nothing. You can't read an eloquent prayer and move the hearts of people. All you can do is move the pen of journalists or maybe put it in the paper. But if you're going to move men's hearts, it's got to come from God's heart through your heart, and not just through the voice box. You've got to have the right motive. You have got to be about your Father's business, and like Christ in the temple, you have to have a divine righteousness and a divine hatred toward the devil, and you've got to care about things. You have got to have something that is born from above, that is just shaking you, vibrating you. It wants to come forth with the glory. It somehow has got something. It may be a sweetness, but it's got to have something born in heaven. And so there's two things. An absolute pure motive, presupposing you've got something to say that will do something. And then taking that and trusting God with it and coming and just trusting. You just take the thing, whatever you call upon to do, you say, there it is, God, and I come in the name of the Lord. And I come forth just like you would do it through someone under a mighty anointing. And if we'll start ministering that way in every single thing we do, we will be astounded at the difference of our ministry. Now, some will say, yeah, but some people are just dynamic type. I didn't sound very dynamic with my first sermons. I wasn't some dynamic type that was up boiling away at all. There is no man, no matter what kind of a person he is, if he is anointed, it will be dynamic. I have seen introverted people preach so wonderfully, speak so wonderfully, testify so wonderfully under the anointing. My friend, it doesn't have anything to do with what makeup or personality you have. I have seen William Branham. William Branham is not one of these foot-stomping pulpit jumpers, you know, loud mouth. He's a small man. He's meek. He's humble. He's reserved, quiet, and scared of people. And not a man filled with a lot of self-confidence. He's not one of these self-made men that I can do all kinds of things. He doesn't even understand a lot about the things of the world, the business world, and the various things. And he, in fact, is so scared and introverted, uneducated, that he won't even minister unless the angel of the Lord is there. I have seen that man move congregations under a quiet speaking. Now, I've seen him also when he was talking, and there was nothing that would be desired in anything he said. I mean, there was nothing there if he was just talking. But I have seen him with the Holy Spirit upon him just move the congregations. It didn't take a atomic bomb to do it. And I guess my 5 minutes are getting close to being up. But oh, I want God to feed us. And I don't want him to feed us through just the 12 apostles here. And I don't mean that literally either. I want him to feed us through a body ministry. I want the people to learn in chapel and places. I want to see him in chapel with the tears running down their face. I want to see him laughing in the Spirit. I want to see him in the glory. I want to see him in tents. I want to see him up there, not just talking, but I want to see him bringing forth life. Moved. Caring. Caring. Something to say. Something that you've got to bring forth. Not in a human excitedness, but something more profound and deep and necessary. And that's the kind of thing that will turn this church. I remember in the Fudin basement, a visitor came in and we had a number of testimonies that night. And they were anointed. And when he got through, he said, "My, all of your people are orators." Because he saw the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon him. My friend, can we take what I've brought tonight as the most exciting piece of information for those of you who don't know that? Now, a number of you, a lot of you already know this, and you move in it, you live in it, and you wouldn't live without it. But those that don't, get into it. It's yours. It's not saved for some Billy Graham type. It's for whosoever will trust God with the right heart and motive and step in it, walk across that water by faith and take that ministry just as it comes. You can be out of the middle of the night, in the out of the dead sleep. You can be tired. You can be anything. If all of a sudden you'll shake yourself like Samson, set yourself to it, and put yourself there, brother, you can come out of a deadness into an anointing and you can begin to move in that realm. God will take the human being just as he is, and all of a sudden he said, "Brother, we need your help right here." Wham! You can step right in it, and God's anointing will be right there. And that's what we've got to do. Amen.
The Lord has a mighty work in store for us. I'm very jealous that it not be aborted. A thorn is said to be an aborted branch. A branch bears fruit. A thorn brings forth blood. No one likes to end up on the other end of a thorn. But every one of us enjoy getting the fruit off the branch. And since I have been here, God has been continually renewing in my heart the vision that he has for this assembly. The vision that he has, the devil is desperately trying to abort, and I just can't stand it if it happens. God is raising up a mighty army, and he's got a work to do at the proper time. And I recall when Don was sharing this vision years ago that it was difficult for me to hear it because I was in the place that many young men are in tonight. I didn't think I could wait. I had to go now. I had to get out and get busy. I had to do something. I had to see something. I had to have a ministry. I had to have my ministry. I got to obey God, I thought it was, see? But there was never a rest. There was never a peace in it. It was that striving. It was that energizing of the natural man. And I found that God began to lead me, even though, because I held and I submitted myself, and it was hard to do, but I submitted. And I found that God began to lead me, and when he did, it was a peace involved. And there was a direction, and my heart found rest in it. And I found the fruit following, and there was no effort in it. And at each step, I said, "Thank God that I didn't go off and do that." Invariably, after a while, in that next step, I begin to get nervous. Where's my ministry, etc.? Thinking that there was something else, and wanting it, and wanting to be something, and going through that same stage again, and finding myself that I had to submit, and come down again, and humble myself. And then God's leading would begin to take effect, and I would find myself at peace and at rest, and the steps would lie out in front of me, and it'd bring forth fruit. And I know that one of the biggest things that young men fall to is pride. Pride. And therefore, he is pulling on that to try to abort your life. And so instead of becoming a branch in the house of God, he'll make you a thorn. And you'll end up bringing harm and hurt back to this assembly and to the overall move of God instead of being a branch that's knit together into the entire tree. That pride, what it does, and you can check and weigh if it's really God or whether it's your own energy, because that pride wants that ministry. And it'll say inside that it wants souls, but it wants that ministry. It wants to be busy. It wants something. And in it is what you are doing and what you are filling and the place that you have obtained. And that is pride that the devil would try to pull on and the natural mind would try to pull on so that you see yourself preaching or you see yourself doing this and that. But the call of God is a brokenness in the heart and the spirit for the love of souls. And then it's not, you have not got the concern at that point whether you get that ministry. There's no concern then that you do this or that you accomplish that, because your vision is souls and the love of souls and the brokenness for hearts of men. And in that, you're not going to be rushing off to your own. You're going to tie in with the church government. You're going to look about you and see where you can help and where you can minister. And believe me, in that is the heart of God. In that comes a branch bearing fruit. In that comes strength to the body of Christ. Then we can tie together. Then we can work together. Then we won't have thorns. We have experienced thorns. There are those that are a thorn in our side. And they were those that could be a branch. And there are many branches. So brethren, let's all be branches, not thorns, and abort the work of God. The Lord has promised that He would guide us with His eye. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 8, and this is a precious scripture. Believe it tonight. Believe that He will. Believe that He won't just leave you out there. Believe that He will, and then know that until you get the heart of God for souls, you're not ready to be led. But in Psalms 32 and verse 8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Can you believe that? Can you come to know Him personally so that He can do that? Or are we going to be so full of our name and our ministry and our effort? And I don't say this in a blaming way because I know how easy it is to fall into. Heaven, we've got to come into submission. Because if God will call you out to a specific ministry, let it come from this pulpit. That's why we're here. That's why we're all standing looking at this pulpit. This is a place that God has ordained that would come forth. We need 10 men now to take forth pastorships in the area of Seattle. It will come from right here. We need 100 to begin to take Bible studies because 10,000 came in last week. And we need 100 of you that are ready in the unfolding revelation of God to get Him grounded quickly. We've got 2 weeks to get it done. How are you ready? How many? It should come forth from here. This is the way God has ordained in these last days. Without a body ministry, the work of God has failed. So God is saying in these last days, I must bring together not just individuals, not just names. I must bring together a body. And that's why God is wanting us to stay and to be faithful and submissive unto His will and believe that He will guide you with His eye. Notice verse 9. Be you not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like that. Don't be wanting in your own effort to run out there, do your own work. That's exactly the way it sounds. It doesn't bring forth the glory to God. Building up our own empire. But let's let God build the church. And let's be lost for the love of souls. Because then you're not looking for... Because if you have a ministry with your name on it, it won't work here, see? It won't work here, so you've got to leave. And so the devil's putting the pressure on you. But if you're looking for souls, then you'll join right together with the other brother next to you. And you'll reach out for souls. And you know that they'll be taught here and they'll be brought here and they can be strengthened here. And there's plenty of souls in Seattle. We need men that are sold out for the hearts of men. Then God can lead you and guide you with His eye. It's interesting, right on the same page. In Psalms chapter 34 and verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He'll guide you with His eye if you're righteous. That is, if you're loving and you're not critical. You're not judgmental, but you're submissive. And one over a little bit further here. We see, can't see it right now. Yes, it is. Psalm 33 and verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, not looking for their own end, but rather that God would be glorified. His mercy, hoping in Him. And the eyes of the Lord, brethren, are not hindered, for they are running to and fro throughout the earth, looking for the heart that is perfect towards Him. To and fro the earth. What is the heart that's perfect towards Him? Verse 18 again, Psalm 33. Those that fear Him and that hope in His mercy, not building themselves up, not looking to their own ends, but they're hoping in the mercy of God, and they fear Him, and therefore they'll be submissive, and they'll join right in, and we'll work together for this thing. Then God can bring the victory.
Because these are such vital things we're saying tonight, see, we're not here tonight to have balance, music, this, that. We're here to get to a place where God wants us. No matter if it's all talking, if it's all lecture, if it's all playing, if it's, no matter what it is, we have to come where God wants us. And sometimes, you know, you got to have what you need to heal rather than what you want to heal. Now, I just want to say, this will be short, Mark hit the bomb right in the firing pin when he said, the reason a lot of people have got to go out is because they've got to have their name on it. Because we have got, there are loads and loads and loads of ministries in this church. There is people all over the campuses and all over the town. There's all kinds of things to be done and all kinds of saints that need work. But they can't have their individual name stamped on it. So they want to go out to an unknown dinky town someplace, out there someplace, where there is no real evident hunger, and slave and work and get a job on the side and minister at this dinky building. Why? Because it's their work. Because even though it's a humble beginning, it's Reverend John Smith, or whatever the name is, on the door of it. It's mine. But here, it's a part of Community Chapel. The big work. Somebody else's, Don Barnett's or somebody's. And that's wrong. And let me tell you, in a two-minute seminar, when you're ready to minister, and when you're not. Now you see, if I would say, how many of you men want to know, how many of you want to get into the ministry quickly? Come right down to the front. A lot of people would want to run to the front if they really believed I was serious. And then I would say, now, the way to get into the ministry quickly, and they would be eager if they thought I had a way to really get them in quickly, is quit worrying about your ministry. And as soon as I said that, the hearts would fall, and they would say, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear getting in, not forgetting it. That is not what I came down here for. I want a way to get my ministry, which all proves you're not ready for your ministry. Then they would say, but... And I'm not, you know, pointing at anybody out here. I'm just saying hypothetically, typically. But, they would say, but ministry is souls. That's the excuse. That's the excuse. And ministry is your ministry. Souls are souls. But my ministry is souls. Let me test. Let me give you the test. Let me put a thermometer in your hand that you can stick in your mouth and find out. Here it is. If you are hungering for a ministry, and you're reading your Bible all day long, and you're praying a lot, and you're working and praying and doing that, going to fellowships, you are not ready for a ministry. But if you are so concerned about people that you can't help but minister to people, you could care not a straw about the ministry, as it were. Though that is a very natural human desire, particularly in a man and particularly when you're called into a broader ministry. I mean, you know, you don't want to wrap hamburgers all your life. You want to go into the ministry. That's all right and proper. But that seizes a hold of a young man until it is driving him. And that is not what God is doing. But the person who is always down, wrapping his arm around a soul at the altar, he's always out there someplace, he's down to Seattle, so he's out in the street, he's somewhere, he's everywhere, he is dealing with people, and his heart is so crying out, he can't stand to make hot tall roofs anymore, he's just taking all of his time up, he's got too many people to take care of. That's the man that's ready for ministry. The hamburgers and the roofs are getting in the way of the people. He's got people to take care of. He's got work to do. That's different than the man who wants his, quote, ministry. And he's just studying so he can preach at him. He won't be successful. And you just can't do those things and be there. But if you start doing those things, God may start giving you a heart for what you're doing. And when you get a heart for doing it, you can't help but do it. And when you get a heart and you're doing it all the time, and everything else gets in the way, God sees it. About that time, he says, good, you're ready. And you're all ready. You're ready for the ministry. That's the way to get into the ministry, is forget ministry. care about people. Span the gap. Keep them from hurting. Keep them from getting out. Take all your time with them. Get concerned about people. And you're ready for the ministry. The other things being, you know, equal. I mean, other things being girded up, you know. I mean, knowing the word and things like this.
You know, on a number of occasions, sometimes on outreaches, when we've been in contact with other ministries, sometimes from relatives, either directly to my face or behind my back, I've heard comments like, well, now that you've graduated from Bible college and you've got a ministry like this, why don't you leave Community Chapel and go out and establish a work of your own? Why don't you be like many other ministers and start your own work? You've got the capabilities and talents and all of that. Why don't you do that? And down in my heart, I felt like saying, get behind me, Satan. That's the reaction that I've had, because they don't really understand what they're saying. But down in my heart, I know what God has called and what God's plan and purpose for my life is, at least at this point in time. And that is not it. Because throughout history, you can see, and even today, there are many ministries raised up by one individual, and maybe another individual breaks off from him, he starts up his own work, and then he starts up his own work, but there's a lack of continuity, a lack of unity, and a lack of power in that kind of thing. And I really get grieved in my heart when I see things like the blank, blank evangelistic association with somebody's name, and it's all putting their name on it, and they're sending out Bibles with their names on them, etc., etc. I get grieved in my heart because I realize that God's call and God's move for this end of time is something far greater, far beyond that. And I feel a joy and a rejoicing in my heart, and I want to testify that to that tonight for being where I am, being in the ministry that I'm in, and not have to worry about my name and what it is and where it goes. I want to represent Jesus Christ. I want to represent Him. It doesn't make any difference about anything else. And I appreciate my brethren in the Lord here. I have such a deep love for every single one of the Bible college teachers, for example, and being in a ministry together. I just enjoy, I consider them some of the most precious times in my life, the times that we've been together and sharing God's heart and sharing God's word. I consider it a privilege to minister together on the same team, in the same army of God, with these precious brethren of the Lord, each one of whom could be having a great ministry of their own out there someplace. But you see, God's doing something precious here, something wonderful here, something unique here. And God is calling people with leadership abilities to be on the same side and the same team, to speak the same things, to have an impact upon the world that one man alone could not have. And when you hear all of us get up and say the same things, that's putting more confidence in your heart of the Word of God and the move of God in this assembly than just one person alone saying it. And a vision that was given a while back concerning Don and the elders and others being unified together and going through the doors together is going to come to pass. But it won't come to pass if every one of us has our own individualistic vision for their own individual ministry. It's going to have to be the ministry of Jesus Christ, whether your name is known or not. It's the function of the ministry. It's yielding to the Holy Ghost. It's seeing God's power and God's name and God's glory manifest in the earth that's going to count. And I believe that God is doing something here that's going to affect more souls. It's going to reach more hearts. It's going to bring more into the knowledge of the truth than ever could be done by splitting up the leaders of this assembly and spreading them out all over. Yes, God's going to be sending people out, but they're going to be sent out with the anointing and call and power of God with one heart. If God ever sends me away from this place, I may be away physically, but my heart will be just the same as it's always been. And I'll feel like I'm one with this assembly. I'll guarantee you that. I've been committed. I've been here for a number of years, and it hasn't changed. It's gotten more and more deep, because I believe and know in what God is doing here. And it's not because I just, was influenced by other people. I knew the first time I came to a Bible study, back in 1967 at Don Barnett's house, I knew from that moment, that here was a place I was going to get the Word of God, and I was going to get it logically, analytically, clearly from the Word of God, and it's never failed since that time. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm committed. Because we can teach with an open Bible. We don't have to give you catechisms. We don't have to give you our little books. We can give you the open Word of God. And we have a freedom among the Bible college teachers all to be studying and searching the Word and seeing whether these things be so and sharing them one with another. We've got a liberty in the Lord and a unity in the Lord that's building because of that, because we're not afraid of the Word of God. We're not afraid of certain doctrines. We'll talk about anything. We'll lay it out on the table and seek God for all that we have. That's a safety, brothers and sisters. And that's what God wants to see in the earth. We're seeing a prototype here of what what God wants to do in the universal body of Christ. And I'm committed to that from now until the Lord comes. My heart is fixed. And I know I'm speaking for all the brethren when I say this. I know I'm speaking for them. Because we share these things openly, and I'm thankful. And brother, you that are young, don't fancy that you're going to go out and do a greater work on your own. Get one heart with what God is doing here. And then you'll be able to go forth with backing, knowing that the power of God is with you, knowing that you've got brethren that you can come to when questions come up, knowing that you can be free to share hearts and pray one with another. It'll be like the New Testament church began and what God intended. They had one heart. They weren't all out for their own ministry. They weren't all out for their own name. They were out for Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And we need not be ashamed to be a part of a body that's moving with God. We need not be ashamed to identify with Community Chapel. We need not be ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. That's who we are one with. And it's His name we want to see glorified. One name, Jesus, throughout the earth, regardless of who's speaking it, regardless of who's teaching it. I don't care if others get these revelations that we're teaching and they're the ones that are leading the outward show of these things. That matters little. What matters is the truth of God and souls and the wrap-up of the ages. Amen.
Mike has forced me to a one-minute seminar. It won't last more than 3 or 4 minutes, that means. I appreciate this. I feel good about this meeting tonight because a lot of really important things are being said. I'm not sure how many people who really need it are hearing it, but I'm having confidence and praying that you all, because this has been a great concern, because I have had a vision that God has given me concerning the whole move of God in the end time as to our part in it. And it's very, very important to me, the move of God that He's calling us to. I can't talk about what somebody else, but it's very important to me. And I see the carnality of the human being wanting to go out, like, say, why don't you go out and start your own great work? What's this great work business? Go out and start some great work. That's Hollywood stuff. That does not belong in the kingdom of God. So you went out and started some great work. I didn't do any such thing. I started teaching people about being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost in my home, and I never intended to start a church. It was by accident. I ask your forgiveness. At no point did I ever try to do anything big. I tried to feed people and get them to walk right and live right. I never tried. I can't help it because everybody tells everybody else and they all pile in. We have to move the walls out. I never tried to do anything big. And I'm not trying to hold people here to establish some great big empire for me. I have a very firm conviction and willingness to take the cream of the crop, as it were, although we're going to keep a certain amount of cream on top of the bottle here. We have to, for this work to do what it needs to do. And we're going to be sending cream all over the place. So that's not the point. And what I want to say is, what would happen tonight? What would happen if each person in music ministry that has got real ability to sing, would each one leave Community Chapel and each one go out as an individual singing group? And they would go out and they would sing New Zealand and Australia, and they'd go out and they'd sing here, and they would go out. And do you know there are tens of thousands of singers out there? They would be lost. Instead of having 10,000 singers, there'd be 10,030 singers. And you wouldn't notice the difference in the church world. And then what happened if each one of our Bible college teachers and ministers would all go out and start their church? They would have a church of 200, and he'd have a church of 400 and all that. You can't, first of all, you can't do a great work unless God's in it. Because God will see that you get stripped until you get where He wants you to. Unless, of course, He's not leading you and He just lets you go and do your thing, in which case you will not be a part of the great last day move of God. Not unless He gets you around at some time back in focus again. And if each one went out and established another so many churches, there are thousands of churches out there. And so they would have another 30 people out there, each preaching to a little congregation. If that all happened, community chapel would not be community chapel, so to speak. I mean, just because I am preaching, the strength of this is not because I am preaching. The strength is in our Bible college teachers, the strength of the music ministry, the strength of our Sunday school program, the strength of the ministry in all of its different facets and assets is the thing that makes this a dynamic move of God where the people are all involved and something is healed. And that would be cut down to size until you lose the whole thing and it would just be a few more out there. This has got to be something that has a very great weight behind it. You can't send one tank out against an enemy someplace, take 20 tanks, split them all up and say, go your way, and they all go out individually. They'll all get shot up. None of them will accomplish much. But you put them together with a whole lot of balanced artillery and a whole lot of balanced infantry and balanced this and all the different pieces together, they would accomplish a whole lot. And I don't have time to tell you tonight, but sometime I'll try to put the rest of the vision together a little more comprehensively for you. But when each aspect of it gets hooked together, and there will be ones out, but these people who want to go out and make a name for themselves because they've got a gift of healing or something, they are carnal. They are not operating as God wants. If you just got to get out and get that ministry so forth, brother, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The ones that go independent from this church are going to find out they have made a horrible mistake. It's, oh, you think you're so great because it's only community chapel. That is not it at all. If totally, completely misunderstood. I'll tell you something. I went to a conference one time where they magnified the denomination. It's all they did, magnify the denomination. And I didn't like it at all. I don't like to see people magnify the denominations. Up in the Baptist, moving the Baptist, moving the Baptist, and the Baptist, and the Baptist. And so I understand when people say, oh, community chapel, community chapel, community chapel. As far as the denomination or the church or community chapel or that type of thing, to me, it means nothing. And I don't have any interest in showing people through all of our facilities to impress them. I know people are impressed by it, and I allow some other people to show some people through because they want to and they are impressed, and that helps. But to me, my heart's not there. The only way I ever feel like pressing anybody is get them into a Holy Ghost service, let the Holy Ghost impress them. Otherwise, I have nothing to impress anybody with. Size of building doesn't mean a thing to me. Because it's pretty or this or that. I appreciate having something nice, but I have got to have the Holy Ghost. I would trade any day for something one-third this size, rough old boards, if we can have a mighty move of the Spirit. 10 times what we got now, I would trade fast. And so I don't come from that position when I talk about community chapel. What I am talking about is the truth and the move of God to do something really specific in the end time. Now, let me tell you about a movement called the Latter Rain Revival. I mean a real Latter Rain Revival, as opposed to many, many churches calling themselves Latter Rain in the years that ensued. And I was in it, and I'll make it real quick, but there were many thousands of Assembly of God churches and Four Square churches and Faith Temple churches and United Pentecostal churches and Apostolic churches and Open Bible churches and all these Pentecostal churches. And they were all over the map. And each one, but when God began to move, the ones that came together into the move of God, which they called Latter Rain at the time, and you have to call something something, you know. You got to call it number 12 or Latter Rain or Community Chapel, or you got to call it something. And just for convenience sake, if nothing else, that movement had strength behind it because of the unification, because they were working together. There was more strength and in drawing of souls in the Latter Rain movement than there was in all the United Pentecostal Church, all the Assemblies of God, and all the Four Square put together, although they probably weren't more than 1/20th of the size. But if every one of those churches would have changed their names, and they were called Latter Rain, and they were called Middle Rain, and they were called Early Rain, and they were called Spring Rain, and they were called Flower Rain, and everybody was called something different. If everyone were disassociated, it wouldn't have had any strength to it. It would have dissipated. It would have gone right into the ground. It would have been nothing there. It was only the comprehensiveness of the movement that gave it weight. And this is the thing that's going to give this move of God weight. And you've got to have, first of all, the glory and the power of God. The people have to pay the price. You've got to have depth in your movement. And then you've got to have that multiplied and working together. Like I said, a lot of thrashing machines, you know, end to end, all going across the field together. And so what I am talking about has got nothing to do with being big, church, denomination, community chapel. I care not a straw for that. But the truth of God and the breaking, the deliverance of souls in the last days, this thing is vitally important. Those men that break off of this church and go independent, mark my words. I feel like I'm speaking by the Spirit. They are going to languish. They are going to languish. They are going to make a mistake. They are going to find themselves have done the wrong thing. I don't care if they get mad at somebody or a little bit shook up or whatever. It has got nothing to do with it. God will not leave them. He loves them. They will be anointed. They will weep for souls, and souls will come in, but they'll keep their little movement like the other churches. He loved those Assembly of God preachers. He loved the Four Square preachers. He loved the Faith Temple preachers, and he loved the United Pentecostal preachers and the Apostolic preachers. He loved every one of them, and they were praying. They were praying for God to move, and he moved a little bit, and that's all he moved. But if you move outside of the of where God is moving at the moment, you're going to stay outside, and that's all you're going to do. But when God is moving in that mainstream, brother, that's where things are happening, and you just can't try to divert God's stream to you. You're going to have to get out and into the stream. And that's one thing I've learned and one thing I know. And so it's vitally important that you have confidence. If you can have confidence And your pastor here and in God, and not try to run up and realize that maybe I know more than what you do, and I don't say anything in any feisty way, in what God is trying to do. Maybe all you feel is I am anxious and I know God wants to use me. Maybe I've got more of the picture of what should be done. Maybe you should hear a little bit from the man with the white hair. Maybe God gave him something to, as a leader, to help you. And maybe you're going to miss something if you don't understand and you go out just to win a few souls. Souls are important. But if we really want souls, we've got to get into the mainstream where we can get them. Get in and cast a net down on the right side and scoop them up and fill the boat full. Otherwise, you're out there with your pole picking them up, trying to one by one. You're never going to get them before the night closes. You see, the church has been going for a long time, picking them up one by one by one. And look how long it's taken. Look what's happened to them. They die in the meantime. This movement is going to be big and fast, and it's going to just thrash them right in. But it's going to have to be done in a certain way, under the power and anointing of God, in a certain mainstream, in the area that God's going to move in. If this people, Community Chapel, fails to move as God wants them to move and will not go on and move in that way, and God starts a mighty mainstream move through any other work in this country, we'll say a brand new work starts up, and we'll call it Lighthouse Ministry. The Lighthouse Ministry. Reverend P.J. Johnson is the pastor. And God starts moving through that thing, and that people are broken and will move, and this people won't. I am going to publicly ask Brother Johnson if I can move in and move with him in that move of God, and I'm going to ask everybody here to get out of Community Chapel and head for that mainstream move. That's what I would do. In other words, I'd sell the name fast. The name is just a nomenclature. We have got to move with God and be where God is. And so then I finish my 1 minute seminar. Father, come and minister to us. I feel like that you're getting some things tonight, though, that was going to help. I've been praying in my sight and saying, Lord, how can I do it? What can I tell the people? How can I get through to them? They don't seem to understand some of them. I mean, there's certain ones. I'm just worried. I know the devil's moving. And I say, Lord, what am I going to do? How can I get through to them? I just feel like tonight we're making progress. I just feel like that somehow God is giving us the ability to say things that the people can begin to see that this is more than some of what they thought. And I feel like it's helping inside. At least it's helping me. And I feel like it must be helping you, because I feel good about it. Praise the Lord.